Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 14:1. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, people say, sent messengers to David and timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build him a house. And David perceived, perceived, that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. David perceived he was king. Okay? He discovered it was true. He finally knew deep down on the inside that it was so. Amen? You get that? Now, we've been talking about receiving from the open hand of God, the unusual, the supernatural, the extraordinary provision in the midst of chaos. I tell you, that chaos is turning around. Well, I've just seen some wonderful things today. The mayor of New York has canceled the mandate. Glory to God. There are countries now, there's like about five countries that have canceled all mandates. All of them. Thank you, Jesus. So praise the Lord for those kind of things. There are extraordinary things happening. I want you to believe and expect that extraordinary things will happen to you, but in you. In you. That the supernatural will happen in you. Praise the Lord. All right. So now one of the main things that'll help us receive from the open hand of God is if you know who you are. Identity is so important. So many people let condemnation and shame and religion and all kinds of stuff keep them out of who they are. But there's a way to know who you are. And one of the path the Lord helped me discover some of this is that I've just never been able to shake this one sentence that I actually read in a science magazine. Many years ago, I was sitting waiting for a haircut, and I picked up a magazine, and the article in it was about string theory. And I was reading about string theory. It was really captivating. I wanted to know about it. It was really cool, the things they were saying about it, which led me to get interested into quantum physics and so on. And then I found out quantum physics, that's faith. Praise the Lord. So, but the sentence in there said this, and I'm going to read it so I quote it properly. One element of perception can make the difference between failure or success. One element of perception. Now, you know that if you're driving down the highway. Because if you turn off on the wrong road, you're not going to end up where you needed to go. Amen. But just one element of perception can take you up. If you do not perceive truth, you could get off at any time and not end up where you're supposed to be. Amen. So, man, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So now that's not a scripture, but it's scripturally true. And the day I read that, my life changed. I was like, that is so right. So I began to have a deep look at perception. In fact, I've actually written a book on perception. I haven't ever put it out. I'm still kind of working on it. But I just discovered that it is a huge key to changing our lives. So as I studied to find the scripture connection, I just found a wealth of it. There's so many things that teach us about perception. And one element of it can totally change your future outcome. And here's the thing, church. It also affects all the lives around you. Just one of us missing changes things for the rest of us. That's how important you are to the body of Christ. Well, nobody would miss me. You'd be very surprised how one person can affect. Amen. So it predicts future, and it either helps your destiny or it sends you further away from it, depending on what your perception is. So it's really important. And we're always talking about higher thinking in the Romans context, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, the washing of the water of the word. We get the word in us. We're not conformed with religion, all the don'ts. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, what are you renewing your mind to? Who you are and who God is. Those are basically the things. And so perception is the organization, identification, and interpretation of sensory information. And to make it just real simple, mental image. It's a mental image that you have. So my question to you is, how do you see God? How do you see him? I would bring up something here and hope all of you would receive it. Anybody remember the shack? You remember reading the shack? Now, some people just had a fit about that. They just thought it was just so ridiculous. You remember that? They just, because God appeared as a black woman. But God is not a black woman. He's a spirit. But the idea behind that was that he manifested in a way so this man could receive, because this man knew nothing about God. So he was a man. He was trying to help the man get into place. So you had to get that image. They weren't trying to be ridiculous out here. They were trying to help you give him a perception. Now, when people think about Father God, some people see just a mean judge up on a throne. But for me, it looks like Grandpa. You get that? You see what I'm saying? So, because Grandpa Walton is joking, kidding, having fun, and he'll do a lot of things, and all of a sudden something wise comes out of him. You know what I mean? So you may have a different perception, but he's daddy to me. He's like a daddy to me. Well, so my perception may be different than some others. And so the perception that you have about God is going to help you. Is he just a big, meany, hard guy? Or is he your daddy? Amen. And then how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself with God? What are y'all doing? What do you see? Can you fellowship with God, or is just, you're just too overcome? You know, I understand that when you see Jesus, you're going to fall down on your face. And I mean, you know, I'm going to grab him by the ankles and he's going to drag me around, you know, but that's how it feels. But there'll be a time when you just fellowship with him. But that's not just in heaven. That's now. He'll go for a walk with you. He'll ride on your motorcycle with you. He'll go horseback riding with you. He'll go fishing with you. He'll talk to you about things. And he'll say funny things to you. But it's all going to be your perception. So how you will receive Jesus, how you'll receive, how do you perceive that fellowship? You know, it's something to think about. Amen. And then how do you see your potential? How do you see truths in the Bible? So perception is insight, and it's even more, because you can believe, you can trust in something that is so. It is so. So you trust it. But then you can perceive. And when you perceive, I believe there's actually a difference there. And this is the way the Holy Spirit said it to me. He says, you believe in your mind, but you perceive in your heart. There's a perception in your heart. There's a knowing. Man, that's when you're in faith, when you know that you're healed. Amen. You're not trying to get it. You're not looking out. You're knowing, I have this. I know I have this. What a great place to be. That's a wonderful place to be. It's more than a feeling for sure. So it's a deeper belief. It's not just this head knowledge. You know it way down deep inside because some kind of light turned on in you. I am born again. I knew when I was 9 years old that I was born again. You can't take that away from me. You'll never convince me that I was not born again. I knew it that day. Absolutely. I knew it that day. I knew that my life changed. I didn't fly off the ground or turn blue or anything, or a big light shine on me. I didn't hear anything. I just knew. Okay, because I knew Jesus when I was 5, but I received him when I was 9. And then when I was 21, I received the baptism and the Holy Spirit, and bam, that was it. Glory to God. So anyway, you understand that too. Now, to proceed to believe in your heart, so Mark 11:23, you don't have to turn there. It's quoting across your brain there. For truly I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. But shall believe what he said shall occur. He's going to have whatever he says. Shall not doubt in your heart. To doubt means to quit believing what you first believed. Well, I believe I received, but don't. And then a couple of weeks later, well, maybe the Lord didn't want me to have it. Well, you doubted. Find out first if he does want you to have it. Then you won't have to go there. So now heart means middle. Your mind is involved, because you process your thoughts. So your mind is actually involved. But when you perceive something, you become aware of it through, one of the senses, particularly your hearing, but there's another ear in you.
Yeah.
Heart is hear is ear.
Right.
So your heart, your middle, your spirit can hear. And your spirit is where you want to hear from.
Yeah.
You don't want to just hear from the paddles on the side of your head.
No.
You want to hear from in your heart. So if you have a hearing heart, then you're going to have hearing ears. You just have to think about that. Now, so we want to perceive who we really are. We want to perceive who we don't want to guess who we are. We want to all of a sudden go, this is who I am. I know this is who I am. Are you with me? So we need to focus on our identity. Now, number one, you are not an old sinner saved by grace. They've been saying that since Mamaw was born, way back yonder. I'm telling you, you are saved by grace, but you're not an old sinner anymore. The Bible says you're a new creature in Christ. You're a new creature. You are the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. You are the righteousness. You're not trying to get righteous. You are righteous, and you live from that nature. Amen. So that's part of your identity. It's a big part of your identity, which will keep you out of condemnation. Amen. Which you need to stay out of. You're not slaves of sin, you know. When you go back and you read Romans 7, you know, the Apostle Paul says, I try to do good, but evil is always present. And people will stop reading right there. But you're supposed to connect that to 8. 8 tells you what to do. Be led of the Spirit. Now there is no condemnation. He kept writing. He didn't stop there. But you know, people are like, yeah, woe is me. I can't help it. My flesh is just bad. The Bible says you can walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That's not my subject, but that was good anyway. So God's will, you know, is for us to bring heaven to earth. And by the way, when you're having heaven on earth, that's not just for you. That's not just for you. People are like, oh, y'all just want to preach a gospel where y'all all living good and having fun. Yep, we do. But there's more to it than that. It's good to have good days, but it's good to have good days so you can help other people have good days. You can do the will of God. You can get going if you have some good days. And so we absolutely want to obliterate darkness. And we can do that by not dragging out of bed, and I'm just too depressed to run the devil off today. The devil should be saying, oh no, she's up early today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, listen, church, let me just say this to you. When your memories are greater than your dreams, you're already beginning to die. If all you're talking about is your memories, it's time to start getting a dream out. We're going to pull that destiny out of you. It's time to start looking for. If you just, I remember when this, and I remember when that, you're not dead yet. So go ahead and live, and go ahead and let's fulfill God's will.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. We need to be dreaming, and we're not paupers. We're royalty. And it's time to think about your true identity. Now, just think about Solomon. He was raised always being important, was he? He was just always important. He always mattered. And so he knew his whole life was that he's the king's kid, and one day he's going to be the king. He just knew that. So he knew his importance. He's known as the wisest man ever. Okay? So he had something going on there. And so you know, people around him knew that. Come on. When he knew, people around him knew that. Now, he said this in Proverbs 23:1. He said, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, look carefully at what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Now, notice he said, when you dine with a ruler. He didn't say if you dine with a ruler, because it's not if a king's going to invite you, but when a king's going to invite you. So he lived in this realm where he just knew he was going to meet the right people, the people he needed to be focusing on, the people who were going to be helping him influence. Okay? Amen. All right. So there never was this question in his mind if he would be influential or to anyone else. Yes, Solomon, young Solomon, he's going to be influential. He's going to help people, other leaders, powerful people expected him to be influential. And he was. So my point is that he couldn't imagine reality where he wasn't valued and looked to. And he had no concept of being a pauper. I've been watching The Gilded Age, the same guy who wrote Downton Abbey. Do y'all know of that? Okay. So the rich man has to invest all of his money and buy all of his stocks back because the upper class decide to pull a stunt on him. You know, they're supposed to help him bring in this railroad and they pull. So he has to take all of his fortune and he has to buy his stocks back. Okay. Now, so he's going to sell out. And this is what his wife says. She says, we got rich once. We will get rich again. Why? Perception. Perception.
Yeah, that's good.
If you did it once, you can do it again.
Right.
If you have the right perception, you're able to do it. How many times did Ford do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And I could list a name of people, and you'd know all of them, who did that very thing. They may have lost a fortune, but they made several more.
Yeah.
Amen. And just using money as an example, but you can do that in anything in your life. Amen. So I'm going to guess that Solomon didn't deal with a lot of rejection. Because of his upbringing, right? We know who he is, you know. He's just Prince Solomon. And unlike him, many of us have struggled with some rejection because of where we've come from or what's gone on, you know. But that shouldn't stop us. Amen. And I'll tell you why. Because we won't, you know, if we were like him, there's no way we would abandon our course. Why would we? Why would he abandon his course? It's set before him. Can I tell you, yours is too. Yours is too. Now, so that's Solomon, but what about Saul? What about Saul? Let's think about him. See, he got a different start than Solomon. He's this big man. He's a big man, like Bill Gailey. Real tall guy. And but he has a small self-image. And his call was hidden under that low self-esteem. Did you hear me? Some people's call is hidden under a low self-esteem and wrong perception of because of the circumstances of life. Okay? And so remember what he said? He said, I'm just from the tribe of Benjamin. We're just small. And no, I don't know what you'd want to do with me. Remember how he behaved towards Samuel? So he said, oh, I wrote it down here. Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family is the least of the tribe of Benjamin. But here's the interesting thing that happened. Samuel was sent to call out Saul's greatness. The prophet came and called out his greatness. So even though he'd started not had a good start like Solomon, there was a prophet that came along to pull out destiny. And he did. Are you with me? So This should show us how important the role of prophecy is, the role of a prophet is. It can play a huge part in developing royal culture. Amen. When prophecies are given, they're a revelation of people's true identities. It's a revelation of true identities. Today, when I was getting ready to come, the Lord spoke to me about Susanna and said, she's very important to me. I said, okay, is there anything else I need to know? And he said, we'll talk about it. But she's very important to me. Now, when I say that to her, that should pull her closer to her destiny.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Particularly when a prophetic word begins to come forth with that power and anointing on it. Don't take your prophecy like it's some little, oh my goodness, like some little person's just reading your mail or you called the, what do they call them, psychic or something dumb like that. That stuff is devil trash. But I'm telling you, the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, prophets are called to pull destiny out of people. It's their job. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's what happened to Saul. He anoints Saul. He begins to prophesy to him. And notice, you remember over there, he said, you're going to be changed into a new man. Over in chapter 10, remember that? He said, you're going to be changed into a new man. Remember, favor came on him. Increase came on him. He began to prophesy with the prophets. And then it said that circumstances would just move him forward. Yeah, look at the power of prophetic calling. Look at the power of how someone can come in and give you a word and say who you are, and it begins to pull you in your destiny, and all of a sudden, all around you, people start favoring you, increase happens, favor happens, you start getting momentum, you move ahead, and then it says a whole bunch of people just joined him. He didn't have a troop. He didn't have anything, but people just started joining him. It was the anointing. It was the anointing. That destiny was pulled out of him. Praise the Lord. And I just want you to know that like Saul, we all have gifts. We have talents. We have abilities. But some of us don't believe in our potential until someone comes alongside of us and says, look how much you have on the inside of you. Someone, God will send someone to take notice. Amen. Did you know that it's very important for a pastor to see your face? Your pastor should see your face because your pastor can tell a lot about your face. Amen. Pastors need to look into the sheep faces. Amen. It's an important thing. I can't go there, but that's enough. You get the idea of what I'm talking about. Now, you just have so much on the inside of you. So prophetic words grant us the grace to come into all that God has for us. Now, then there's David. Now, he's anointed king by Samuel when he's a teenager. And he knew that one day he was going to be king, but he just thought about it. He just thought, you know, one day. How many times have you said that? You know, one day. We're just waiting on the Lord. Just one day. Just one day it's going to happen. People say this, when my ship comes in. Don't they? When they're thinking about finances and stuff. Or, you know, one day it's going to. You know when that one day's coming? When you perceive. When you perceive. See, now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build him a house. And David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel. So he perceived who he was. He went, I'm king. I'm king. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Isn't that interesting? It got to him. It dawned on him. We're finally here. We're finally here. He was king. I'm really king. I really am royalty. I really am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I really am God's kid. I'm God's kid. I'm God's kid. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. See, at that moment, being king ceased to be something that he just thought about. Well, it became a reality. What are you? Because it needs to become a reality. I had one of my dear friends asked me about a year ago, said, well, are you a millionaire yet? And I said, yes. Now, she didn't know if I have that assets or not, but I am. I am. Y'all are all going, are you? I am. But I'm telling you that I'm just using that as an example, but because she thought she sees something on us and she's, you know, we're debt free. Yeah, she watches that, our giving and our prosperity and things like that. And so, but anywhere in life, who are you? How do you see yourself? Are you important in this awakening? You know, Andre and Kelly both said to me that I'm a strategic player in the glory. Mm-hmm. Now, I can believe those are two people that I believe can prophesy to me. Amen. Yep. And Andre is a prophet. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do with that? Well, maybe I'll do a little something. Or am I going to take it for what it is? The Lord spoke this morning about you. You haven't even heard it yet. And talked about you being a strategic person. The role that you play is so very strategic. And so, you know, you're going to have to now prophetic word or not, which you're bound to get one if you're in this house. Prophetic word or not, the word of God tells us who we are. And it's prophetic. He said, the word says that's a more sure word. Okay. So the word says that you are a new creature. It says that you're not a slave anymore. It says that your father wants you to prosper and be in health. It says you're important. It says all kinds of stuff about you. The word says all kinds of wonderful things, that you have a covenant God who has this obligatory love towards you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. A covenant God can't say one day he's going to do it and the next day change his mind. Can't do it. God can't lie.
That's right.
Well, not because he's morally good. He can't lie because whatever he says comes to pass.
That's right.
So if he said, nope, today's Thursday, not Wednesday, we'd roll over into Thursday. Because what God says is. Amen. So it's not just that he wouldn't lie. He won't, because he says, I'm God and I lie not. But the truth is he can't lie, because if you understand words, if you understand what words were made for, the first use of words is not communication. It's creation.
Yes.
You use words to create. Secondly, you use them to communicate.
Yeah.
So God uses creation. He uses words to create. Okay, so you have a God that won't lie, so you've got it. Perceive that. You got it. You'd be all right. You've got the protection. You are healed. You're not going to get healed. You are healed. But see, now I'm going to tell you, there are many people who are still trying to get healed. But you are healed. Things come from the outside, but you self-medicate, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying you need to know where you are, you know, where you are on that power curve, and what God wants you to do. If you do have an illness or something, you need to find out the steps. That's true. But it's still, you're healed. Christ has redeemed you from the curse, and every sickness is under the curse. And so you are absolutely redeemed from the curse, because he hung on the tree. The blessing, you can't be blessed and cursed. No, you can't. You're one or the other. And if you're a born-again Christian, whether you know it or not, you're blessed. Well, you know, Pastor, it sure feels like I'm under the curse. That's because you're playing with the lie of it. But it's not really yours. You can get out there in it. Because that's the devil's territory. Why do we even, you know, Jesus paid for everything. He paid. He paid for every sin you'll ever do. Why do we even care if we sin or don't sin? You want to know why? Because there's a devil out there, and because there's people out there that you love and you don't want them hurt. Those two reasons, because we love people and because we don't want that legalistic devil to be able to force us into any kind of slavery. That's good right there. And it's the truth. Praise the Lord. I'm off the subject again. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So David perceived that he was king. He had this dawning. This needs to be our perception. We need to know who we are. Sons, not slaves. Friends, not servants. Heirs, not earners. Oh boy, I quit my job. That's not what we're talking about. Your job is your assignment. You make a living by your giving. Praise the Lord. We grow up into that, don't we? Now, I want to say this to you. If you become a friend of God, it will dramatically increase your sense of self-worth. Am I right? If you become a friend of God. Now, let's just take this down to human level just for a moment. Have you known someone in your life who's quite popular and you stood next to them and you were kind of like, I'm with them. Right? You have. Yeah, you have. You know. Praise the Lord. You're like, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, this is God Almighty. This is Jesus. You're his friend? You know, Larry's kind of popular, not kind of. He's pretty popular in the town. He's kind of like the pastor of the city around here to me. I see it that way. I know you don't have any kind of inflated head or anything, and that's why they see you like that. But, so sometimes when something happens in the town, I think, I'm going to tell Larry. He knows them and they know I know him. Now, the one thing you don't do is misuse Mr. Wallace's name and go around and tell people, I'm going to make a deal with you because I know Larry. No. That is sin. Yes. And I wouldn't do that, Larry, ever. I'm just kidding. But you feel like that sometimes. But there's people you know, and you're happy to walk down there. Me and Deb are walking in to go meet T.L. Osborne. And that was going to be big. Y'all know who T.L. Osborne is? But who are we walking with? John Holler, the famous Texas preacher. I mean, he's a legend. He was a legend in our groups. And so we're walking in with him, and I'm trying to keep up with him so you have to take extra steps because he's, you know. I just was big stuff, especially being his favorite and all. I know some of y'all are watching. I'm telling you. Anyway. So he's in heaven now, but he's still agreeing with me. Praise the Lord. But just whoever it is in your life, I mean, when I walked, my big brother was pretty tall and I had to walk fast to keep up with him. But man, when I was with him, he's a rodeo cowboy. I thought I was big stuff walking around with him, you know. You've had that in your life, but you're walking around with God Almighty. You're connected to God Almighty. You're connected to somebody way bigger than George Strait. Right. Glory to God. Or Willie, or whoever you like. Jesus tops the list. Praise the Lord. So this is what we should perceive. That's who we really are royalty. We really are God's kid. Now, we're going to close here, but here's a couple of things I'm going to tell you that you're going to have to step over as you get this perception right. Number one, false humility. Church, here's your truth. Here's your 6-second soundbite right here. The truth of God's grace humbles a person without degrading them and exalts a person without inflating them. Okay? God's grace should humble us. That he would do what he did for us. What Jesus did for us, it's very humbling that he would do that. Yet he's also going around saying, this is my child. Look at my child. Look, I mean, people say, boy, you're good at, boy, you do good. You do good. But we're in a place where we don't get the big head over that. That's what God's grace will do for you. When you receive, see, if you get into works, you start thinking you did it. But grace is all the way that Jesus did it. So, but false humility, you know, there's this humility. Well, there's arrogance, which is running rampant in the United States right now. People are so arrogant, they think they can make their own laws. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yep. But then in the church, there's the arrogant. Yeah, they are. There's people that are just as arrogant. They think they know it all. But there's this false humility. Boy, you sure did preach a good word. Oh, not I. Not I, but the Lord. I had nothing to do with it. It's all the Lord. Just say thank you. Right. Just say thank you and then turn around to God and say, Lord, you get all the glory. Don't insult the person who's trying to give you a compliment. You receive that compliment from them and then you give God the glory. There's a real easy way to do it. I always just say, isn't the Holy Ghost good? So I receive their compliment, but I don't take it to myself. So, you know, I don't have to put on false humility and I don't have to get inflated, but you're going to have to step over that false humility. You're going to have to step over it because it'll keep you from going as high as you can as a child of God. And I'm going to warn you, religious people don't like people like us. You're so arrogant. You think you can have what you say. Blah, blah, blah. Y'all always think that everything goes right for y'all. And y'all, oh, this God is good stuff and y'all never have any trouble. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the idea is that he delivers us out of them all. There's not a person in the sound of my voice that hadn't had some trouble. More than your share. It's just that we don't take the opportunity to stay bogged down in it. Amen. But when people, religious people face us, we don't go, oh, brother, let me tell you what I've been through. Glory to God. Let me tell you what I've been through. Oh, God, praise his name. Let me tell you what that, you know, we don't do that. We just say it is well. Praise the Lord. It's good. Why? Because we're not going to change our confession because of an affliction. But it makes us look bad, they think bad, to the religious world. But if they got to know us, they would see what we were doing. But you're just going to have to pay that price and not always look good. God gets the glory, though. And you don't have to have false humility, but you can have real humility. You can humble yourself before the resourceful strength of God, and he will exalt you above any situation as soon as you do it, says the 1 Peter 5. Amen. All right, we'll close with this. I have one more statement, I think. Have you ever noticed that kids don't argue over who gets to play the part of the garbage man? Have you ever noticed that? They all want to be Spider-Man. I'm Spider-Man. No, I'm Spider-Man. But they want to be the hero. Kids want to be the hero. That's because greatness has been bred into us. Greatness is bred into us. We just need to pull that out, church. We just need to pull that greatness out. Someone had to teach us to be losers. And I'm just going to tell you that religion has done a lot of that. This is a year of correction, and I'm going to say something to you. It might be good to look over your history and look over what some of your teachers taught you, no matter how much you love them. And no matter how 90% right they were about some things, there could be some things that they were wrong about that holds you back. Amen. You got to get on the right side of affliction and not think, well, I'm just going through this because I need to. That season's over, honey. That's right. Praise the Lord. The second one, this is the one I wanted to get to, your past. Forget your past. The perception that was created by your past or by religion. So I've already kind of talked about it, but it's time to start feeding ourselves truth of who we really are. Talk to yourself about who you really are. Just look at yourself in the mirror. This is who I am. God loves me. Some days you look at yourself and go, girl, Jesus loves me. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you may act a certain way and you feel like, man, I don't know why anybody would love me, but praise God, Jesus loves me. And praise God, he paid the price. And praise God, I can move forward. I'm important. What did the lady say to her kid when she sent him out? You are smart. You are important. You are kind. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves above what God says about you. It's perception. Yeah, well, you know, I just feel like I can live, sound like a Jew here talking. Yeah, I can just live on along, and you know, I'll just go through this because, you know, this is just building me up, and you better get on the right side of your words. And you better get on the right side of your perception, particularly in these times. And definitely if you're going to receive extraordinary, supernatural, unusual things in your life. Because God is on the victory side. Our future is total victory. It's total life. And he's pulling us to that future. And you're going to have to point yourself. If you go to Houston today, you cannot head to San Angelo. You understand me? You will not get there if you head to San Angelo. If you're going to go to Houston, you're going to have to take 71 down to 10 or however you go. But you're not going to go west. So you don't pull out into more darkness to try to get where God needs you to go. Because people need you. You receive this tonight? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We're going to take all of our prophecies seriously, Lord. We're going to let them lead us to our destinies. We're going to take this word seriously. It leads us to our destiny. We're going to have the right perception of who we are, Lord. And we're going to see hundredfold harvest pour out on our everyday lives because we are walking as kings and priests and holy and a holy nation. Everything that you've called us to be, a friend, a child, an heir, a joint heir with Christ. We are all these things. And Father, I thank you for this. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.